Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Sensei Ryan Christopher as my special expert guest. Sensei Ryan Christopher owns two martial arts schools in the Lower Mainland, including Coquitlam Martial Arts and Burnaby Vancouver Jiu-Jitsu. Ryan started Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in 2006, received his black belt in 2016, and is currently preparing for the World Masters in Vegas, which will be his first competition as a black belt. Before opening his own gym, Ryan competed in mixed martial arts. Now, as a gym owner, he focuses his time and effort on teaching and training his own local competitors and fighters. At the Coquitlam location, Ryan also runs the kids program for Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. In addition to managing his two gyms, training his students, and training himself, Ryan also works part-time for Tri-Elite Marketing. Good morning, Ryan, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update.
Good morning. Glad to be here with you.
It's great to have you on the line. And of course, I'm focusing on martial arts as a investigation into what it's all about to help our students understand the philosophy and what kind of health benefits are associated with each kind of martial art. So let's get the ball rolling with this open-ended question. What do you like about the martial arts, Ryan? What is it that attracts you to it?
Well, I think definitely now the sport aspect of martial arts. I'm using my skills against other martial artists that have also, you know, been training many years. I find that also, like, because Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu especially is transforming, you know, as time goes on, it molds, there's different techniques, people are creating new variations of things. So basically, you have to kind of keep up with all the progress and all the change that's happening in the sport, which keeps it interesting. You know, there's no standstill, you know, things are always developing. So I'd have to say, for myself now, definitely the sport aspect of martial arts and especially jiu-jitsu.
Right. Now, did you play any other sports growing up as a kid in Canada?
I did. My main sport here, and I've always lived in the Lower Mainland, was hockey. My parents put me in hockey at a young age. And yeah, I played hockey throughout my whole life until I was about 19, 20 years old. I played junior hockey, actually, as well, for the Maple Ridge Flames and the Abbotsford Pilots. And then that ended because I ended up getting into a fight and breaking my hand, trying out for a junior A team, the Langley Hornets. That was pretty much the end of my hockey because of the broken hand. And I was coming to, because you can only play till you're about 20 years old there in junior hockey. So for me, it was the end of that. And that's actually how I started in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Because I, you know, wasn't able to do any punching and things like that. So boxing and kickboxing was out of the question for me. So one of my friends, actually, he said, "Oh, come on down to the gym. I'm doing jiu-jitsu." And I said to him, "Well, you know, my hands, it's still pretty bad, so I don't think I can do it." And he's like, "No, don't worry. In jiu-jitsu, there's no punching or kicking. It's all grappling. You know, it's all defense." And I thought it was pretty cool. So I came out to the first class and I just sat on the sidelines and I watched. And there was all these people rolling, grappling with kimonos on. And I thought it was a really cool thing. So I started coming out every day to jiu-jitsu and just fell in love with jiu-jitsu. And my friend actually came about 3 months later and he's like, "Oh, what are you doing here?" And I said to him, I'm like, "Well, since you showed me what this jiu-jitsu is, I've been coming every day." And that's pretty much how I got into jiu-jitsu there. It was kind of like an accidental thing, but I mean, it's probably the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Right on. That's fantastic. Now, a lot of people go into martial arts and jiu-jitsu, but they don't end up owning their own school. How did that happen?
So basically, I was under my old instructor, which is in the Lower Mainland here. So I trained under him my whole jiu-jitsu career until I made a trip to Brazil in 2010. And I met my current master, Rogério, and my good friend, Eduardo. And I kind of knew from there, the way that they were doing their techniques and the way that they ran things, that I really wanted to be a part of something with them. So after receiving my purple belt in Brazil, I came back to Canada in 2010 and still wore my blue belt in respect for my my master here until he gave me my purple. Then received my brown from him as well. But for my black belt, I knew I wanted to get my black belt from Rogério. So I split from my master here and I started my own school. And at that time, I called up Rogério and asked if I could be affiliated, means underneath him, for jiu-jitsu. And then I trained about for probably about 3.5 or 4 more years before receiving my black belt from him. So basically, yeah, that's how it all started. So I started CQMA, which is Coquitlam Martial Arts, first with my partner Blake, which does all the striking as I do the jiu-jitsu. And that was in 2013. We kind of came together with that, being under Eddie and Rogério for jiu-jitsu, and then basically me and Blake owning the school and running with it. And at that time, it was a pretty busy time because I didn't know how it was going to go. So I was still working full time. So basically, I would wake up 6 a.m., work all day, and then immediately run to the school and start teaching my classes all night till about, 9 or 10 at night. And it was pretty grueling at first, but I saw the light at the end of the tunnel, and now we're running pretty great with Coquitlam. And that's why we just recently, last year, started Burnaby Vancouver Jiu-Jitsu. And Eduardo actually moved from Brazil, this whole family, here to Canada. And so we own the gym there in Burnaby, and we're going to try to do the same thing and get going and running with Burnaby.
Now, I'm sure you've heard of Bikram yoga.
Yeah.
Okay, so in order to open up a Bikram yoga studio, you have to get a license. You have to go and take training, and then that location that you open, you have to pay a franchise fee in order to use the name. Is that something similar to jiu-jitsu, to use that name, or is this all completely unregulated and wide open and non-licensed?
Well, for jiu-jitsu, basically the way that it works, there's a federation called IBJJF, which is the International Jiu-Jitsu Federation. Now, that is basically to moderate and be able to, have a hold on jiu-jitsu. So basically, you have to be registered under IBJJF to be certified in jiu-jitsu. So, for instance, like my gym is owned by, in Coquitlam, is owned by Blake and myself. But I am under Infight Jiu-Jitsu, which is my master's gym in Rio de Janeiro. Now, generally, when you are affiliated with a gym, you would pay like fees to your master and things like that. But fortunately, I'm very good friends with my master. So we just have him come down for seminars. Now, because I'm affiliated with him, I'm registered for jiu-jitsu under Infight. So now, me having my black belt, I had to go online and go through some steps and register to be a black belt under IBJJF, which I also have to be registered to compete internationally. Like, for instance, me going down to Vegas. I'm going to be going down there, obviously, there to compete for my first black belt competition. So it is regulated, but not necessarily our gym. Anyone can open a gym. You just have to basically, if you're going to a gym, ask questions, because anyone can open a gym. But if you're opening the gym, are you certified? Do you have the experience? So these are some of the questions and things that, you should be asking, to looking at the gym and kind of seeing where you're training. But usually you'll figure out pretty fast when you're at a gym, how it's run and, the instructors, whether things are run properly or whether, it's properly instructed.
Great. Now, for the students that are listening that have no experience whatsoever in martial arts, let's take them through a bit of a journey into the background and history, because I know, and I think most people know, that judo is in the Olympics. And so maybe they know judo or they've heard karate and kickboxing. I wasn't as familiar with jiu-jitsu as I am now after my son Michael got involved and met you down in Irvine and went to that competition and was really exposed to the side of the sport that I had no idea existed. And I was very impressed with how well organized it is and the actual action of the art itself. So what is jiu-jitsu? Where did it come from and where is it now?
Jiu-jitsu, actually, it's funny you say that about judo, because jiu-jitsu actually pretty much came from judo. That's where it stems from. So in, I think it was like almost the 1900s, it was like 1890s or something like that, a fellow named Mitsu Maeda, which was a judo practitioner in Japan, he made his way and traveled to Brazil, where he befriended Carlos Gracie's dad. I think he was like a businessman. Well, Carlos Gracie's dad was, and that's how somehow he met him. And then basically, Carlos Gracie's dad asked him to train Carlos Gracie as his student. So in judo, they have something called nuwaza, which is basically the ground techniques. So they have like, it's similar to Brazilian jiu-jitsu, but they do a lot of things in judo, like the throws, which is the focus. So it's not as focused on the ground. So Carlos Gracie was really studying the nuwaza part, and he also had brothers as well, Helio, and he had a couple other brothers as well. But Helio was, he was like skinnier and more frail. So he really studied the nuwaza, which is the ground techniques of judo, to be able to use it so anyone could use it, no matter the size and strength difference. And that's really where Brazilian jiu-jitsu kind of stemmed from the Gracie family. And yeah, basically just from there, it started spreading throughout Brazil and throughout the world. And now it's become very mainstream. So like I remember when I started Brazilian jiu-jitsu, like in around 2006, when I told people I did jiu-jitsu, they'd be like, oh yeah, you do that karate stuff. Like everybody, you know, would say that. To now, people know exactly what jiu-jitsu is. And I think, you know, the UFC and things like that, you know, that going mainstream has really helped it along. And just also the Brazilian people traveling around the world, bringing the jiu-jitsu with them.
Okay, great. So jiu-jitsu itself is relatively new. And I guess when you say in the late 1800s, 19th century, it doesn't go back like thousands of years. I don't know what the origin, maybe you do. What is the origin of martial art? Does it go back to some kind of a connection with the military, like with the Greeks, or some kind of ancient civilization?
Yeah, well, basically, I believe that it stems from Japanese. It was like the samurai warriors, because I believe that back in the, like, you know, a long time ago, they would use like the forms of like, you know, some forms of like, you know, like the judo and like some forms of the jiu-jitsu, because with all the armor, if they lost their sword, they would have to use grappling like chokes and arm locks, because punches and kicks weren't as effective when you have, you know, like the armor on. So it really stemmed, you know, a little bit back then, but then was really refined more so when judo came forth. And then probably about, I don't know, maybe like 30 or 50 years later, when Maeda traveled to Brazil, where the Brazilian jiu-jitsu started from.
Okay, awesome. Now, jiu-jitsu is a very unique sport. It has its own set of rules in competition. We're going to get into that a little bit. But first, let's say that I've joined your club, and you call it a gym, right?
I call it the gym. Some people call it the dojo, which is okay. Fine as well. But yeah, there's many names. But most of the time, I usually, yeah, call it the gym.
Right on. Yeah, I like that. Now, let's say I'm going to go to the gym. I've become a member of your club, and I'm coming down for a workout. Talk about what a typical workout for me would be. Let's say I'm preparing for a competition or not, but I just am going in to have a workout. What would that involve?
Well, depending, the first thing I'd have to look at is your level. Because in jiu-jitsu, we practice a lot of defensive things. Like, for instance, because in jiu-jitsu as well, we do some judo techniques, and there are throws and tosses. You have to learn how to fall. When you do a jiu-jitsu competition, you start from standing up. So if you fall improperly, it can be really bad. You can, you know, break your arm, things like that. So we practice how to fall, which is called break falling. So the first thing that I would do if you were a new student and you didn't have any experience is I would have some of my other instructors run the warm up as I pulled the newer students aside and just explained what break falls were, showing the break falls, the different rules, and just get them familiar with those things. And then also for the warm up, we do things like hip escapes, which are practicing moving on the ground, ways to get out of bad positions. Like if someone's on top of you or holding you down, ways to move the strong parts of your body, like your hips, to nudge your way out of bad positions from the bottom. So basically, we would run through the warm-up, which would be around like the first 20 minutes or so. And then we get into a takedown because, like I said, you know, the jiu-jitsu competitions, and most of the time, you know, when we're walking around in the street, we're starting standing up. So you have to be familiar with your body and your base and get familiar with takedowns and also how to avoid takedowns. So we usually go into any kind of takedown, whether it be like a wrestling even takedown or a judo sort of takedown, or we even have jiu-jitsu style takedowns. And that'll usually take up maybe like the next, 20 minutes or so. From there, we have everyone kind of come in and we do ground techniques. So that would be like in the judo, nuwaza, but most of jiu-jitsu is ground techniques. So that's where we focus most of our time. Again, showing how to get out of bad positions, showing how to maybe get from the bottom position to the top position, and showing different ways to submit, which is basically what it says, making your person, say, okay, you have me, stop. And that could be like an arm lock, that could be a shoulder lock, that could be a choke. And then after that, basically for probably like the last 20 minutes of the hour and a half class, we get into sparring. Now, if you're a newer student, then I would, have you on the side and watch. And then when you did spar that day, it would just be with me so I can have it nice and controlled. But if you're a student that's, consistent or, not a new student, then you're going to be able to spar. So we'll put the round timer on and you'll choose a partner and you'll have a time to be able to try your moves. And luckily in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, if anything's uncomfortable or someone has a lock on you, you can do a thing called tap, which is you basically tap your hand on the person. And as soon as they feel that, they're going to let go and stop. Because in jiu-jitsu, it's defensive. We just want to practice our moves to control the situation. But we're not trying to obviously hurt any of our opponents, which is, is great. Other martial arts, are more aggressive and, more hard on the body. So that's, another reason why I really love the jiu-jitsu portion of martial arts.
Yes, my last interview was with a product of Bruce Lee. He teaches a hardcore Jeet Kune Do. And he says his pure objective is to split his opponent in half, but only if necessary. Like, yes. His philosophy is nonviolent. You never look for fights. You always try and find a way around the fight intellectually. But he says that there are situations that come up in life where you have no other recourse except to address the situation on a physical level. And so rather than chopping a guy's head off or poking his eyes out and stuff, what you do in jiu-jitsu is you're going to, try and take the guy down onto the floor and pin him so that he can't render him kind of immobile?
Absolutely. Like, I've had situations, I totally, agree with that. The jiu-jitsu is the same way. You're trying to avoid fights. You know, jiu-jitsu is not an attack martial arts. So I've had situations myself where things were unavoidable. And because of my, jiu-jitsu practice, the person was trying to attack me. I ended up able getting the person in a choke and, putting them out cold, which is not, a terrible thing as long as you're not holding it, for, 2 minutes or 3 minutes and damaging, the person's brain. But, because, I'm experienced and know what I'm doing, I, put the person out and that was the end of the situation. There was no him coming back. There was no, fight after. I wasn't breaking my hands. It was very quick and simple. And, it's not like I want to have that situation, but I also, can't be harmed myself. So I would say jiu-jitsu is great for being able to control and defend with the least amount of damage, because I really don't want to take damage. You know, I have a job, I teach my martial arts classes, you know, I can't be hurt. So if I can do a martial art with me, you know, receiving the least damage, it's the best case scenario for myself.
Absolutely agreed. I love that philosophy. It's one I live by. Do no harm, which is the rule of natural medicine, but also to extend that, stay out of harm's way. Like if you do anything in life, whether it's self-inflicted or just engage with people that brings harm to you, that's almost the same as doing harm to others. So yeah, that's a great philosophy, because you could hurt yourself in the conflict, and then that would cause all kinds of trouble for you too.
Absolutely, absolutely. And sometimes, like, the person that wins the fight is more hurt than the person that loses the fight sometimes, you know, and that's not a good situation. You know, if the person, oh, okay, you know, I beat up this guy, you know, that was attacking me, but I also broke both my hands and my nose is broken. Well, you know, that's not the best case scenario. The best case scenario is, you know, you don't have any damage.
What about conflict in marriage? Would you suggest jiu-jitsu as a good technique?
I would suggest jiu-jitsu just because it's a great outlet. You know, it's a place that you can go where you have different problems. And you know what? I really found that it helped me just be more calm and patient, because when someone, like at the beginning of my jiu-jitsu, would be in the top position holding me down and I couldn't get out, it was a little bit claustrophobic. You know what I mean? Like, it's weird being in these positions where you can't get out of and you're stuck there. So it makes you really just stop and think and relax and be able to technically get out of these situations, which I use in life. Now I'm just a lot more relaxed as a person. And when something happens, I kind of sit back and think more technically rather than be more emotional. Where the same thing in jiu-jitsu. At first, when I was a white belt, if I was stuck, I would be going crazy, like trying to buck the person off and doing things that weren't technical and still being held there. Finally, when I was able to just relax and use my techniques, I was able to get out of the situations.
Now, I'm into track and field, and at the highest level, you know, you have the Olympics, the Pan American Games, the World Games, that kind of thing. What is going on in the competitive world with jiu-jitsu? What are the top competitions, and how do you prepare for them?
So basically, even the competition that I'm going to, the World Masters, is a pretty big high-level competition. But basically, you register for the competition. If you're competing for black belt in the adults, which is under 30, you have to do certain competitions, smaller competitions, to build up points to be able to enter the bigger competitions. But once you're in the masters and you're over 30, which I am, you don't need the points. You're able to register. So potentially, I could be fighting, you know, like a famous Gracie of some sort, like one of the Gracie's, you know, sons of, you know. So it depends on the tournament that you go to, but all over the world, and because jiu-jitsu is growing and is so big, there's lots of big competitions. So the World Masters is a competition. We have the Pan Ams. That's a big competition for jiu-jitsu as well. And there's like Brazil Worlds. There's many different competitions that are pretty big. And, you know, and then we also have our local competitions here, which are a lot smaller. And it's just basically most people from the lower mainland. So basically it varies. I mean, if you want to get the big competitions, you got to travel to California or Vegas for the most part.
Okay, great. So you're at the World Masters now and your match is up. So tell me and tell us, what are the rules of the game? Like, talk about the time period, some of the rules, how long it lasts, that kind of thing. And what is the objective of the sport on a competitive level?
Yeah, so basically, in jiu-jitsu, they want to show control and dominance on the ground. Obviously, a submission is full dominance. The person has to tap and they're giving up and you know, that's going to win a fight. So a jiu-jitsu match would look like this. Each match, depending on your belt level, would be a different time. So for black belts, it would be 10 minutes, and then working way down to white belts, which would be a 5-minute match. And depending how many people you have in your category, you can have anywhere from one match to 5 or 6 matches. So basically, you come onto the mat, and then you're going to start standing up. So there's ways to show control and dominance, and they have a point system to show this. So there's no way just to get one single point. It basically starts at 2 points. And there's three different ways to get 2 points, which is show of control, which is if you take the person down and you end up on top and the person is on their back and you control for 3 seconds, that's a sign of dominance. You took the person down and you're going to get 2 points for that. The other way to show, you know, control is if I'm on my back, I'm on the bottom, and I sweep you, I reverse you, so you're on your back and then I'm on the top. Well, I just reverse the situation to be on top for me, so that's going to score me 2 points. The last way that I get 2 points is if I have control on the side and I put my knee on your stomach and control you with my knee on your stomach. So basically, that's the least amount of points that you could get. The other way to get points is 3 points. And there's only one way to get 3 points, and that is passing someone's legs, because they're going to try to get their legs in the way, which is called a guard. So I can't get past and control them in a dominant position on the side or on the very top on mount. So if I can pass their legs and control them on the side for the 3 seconds, I'll get 3 points. And then the last is 4 points. And there's only two ways to get the 4 points, and that's complete dominance. So that's being in the very top on the mount position controlling. And again, it's always 3 seconds for the control. And then I would get 4 points, or what we call back mount, which is when I have the person's back and control, because it's very easy to get a choke and finish from the back. And obviously the mount position, you're in a super dominant position. So that is basically the point system. When you do these things and show dominance, you get your certain amount of points. So if there is no submission in a match, then they look at the scoreboard and look at the points, and the person with the more points wins the match.
I see. And what interested me when I went to see you guys compete, and for the first time, I really enjoyed it. I mean, it was spectacular, but pulling on the garment, like the, what do you call the garment that you wear?
We call it the gi or the kimono.
The kimono. I didn't realize that grabbing that was a very important component of the combat, isn't it?
Absolutely. I'm pretty sure like the reason like they wear the kimono in jiu-jitsu to begin with is because, you know, most people in real life aren't running around naked, right? And jiu-jitsu is a defensive, you know, martial art. It was meant for self-defense. So, you know, people wear clothes. So you can use these things to help, you know, control, to help push the person, pull the person, and for chokes and things like that. For instance, like in a jiu-jitsu match, the first thing that I would say to someone is get your grips. Because if I can't grab the person's kimono, I'm not going to have any control, and they can maybe throw me down or get a better position on me. And that's why the gis are made so thick, and they're basically to represent, you know, clothing. So you can grab any part of the gi. You can grab the top part of the kimono and try to choke the neck. I can grab the legs and try to move the legs out of the way to try to pass the legs. And yeah, I mean, I prefer the kimono. I started out jiu-jitsu with the kimono, but there is also something called no-gi, where you practice jiu-jitsu without the kimono, where you just wear like shorts and a rash guard, where you don't have the same handles from the kimono, which, you know, you just modify and find different handles, but you still use the same techniques in Brazilian jiu-jitsu as like the MMA fighters do fighting for like UFC or things like that.
Well, that's very informative. Your insight on this is excellent. I'm so glad that Michael discovered jiu-jitsu, Ryan, and you guys. He loves it there. For a long time, I was waiting for him to discover the sport that would really fill in the gaps. You know, like I've been involved in sport and training and exercise my entire life. In fact, that's my field, my profession. But sometimes when you have kids, they don't discover that until later on, or maybe they get into it. Like you were into hockey and then you moved to jiu-jitsu. So what it's been doing for Michael, the physicality, the stability, the competition training, because I really believe that sport, when you have a competitive component to it, it gives you purpose, it gives you an objective, it gives you a reason to train and all of that. So I just want to thank you for the service you're doing. And I want to finish off. First of all, let's make mention of your website. What is your website address?
The website address is www.coquitlam, C-O-Q-U-I-T-L-A-M, martial arts, martialarts.com. www.coquitlammartialarts.com.
Okay. So everyone listening, get to that site, have a look. And I want to finish off with a question about the kids, Ryan, because that's our primary resource. Do you have any children?
I do not have any children, but I sure teach a lot of children. I actually run my whole jiu-jitsu kids program at Coquitlam Martial Arts, and I've been doing it since the beginning. My youngest kid is about 5 or 6 years old, and then my oldest are the teens, which are, you know, when you are 14, 15 years old. And, you know, at first, you know, it took me a little getting used to, but, you know, I really love it. Teaching kids is awesome. They're the future of jiu-jitsu. And, I mean, I'm surprised at how much they can soak up, how well they can learn. And just seeing a kid coming in, and some of the kids, like, didn't even want to walk through the door, were shy, timid. Now it's like they just came out of their shell and, you know, they're like a different kid, you know, walking around with confidence, and it changes people's lives. I mean, I never found jiu-jitsu till I was 20. I wish, you know, I found it, you know, growing up when I was a kid, because, you know, it would have definitely helped me out throughout school with bullying and things like that. And not even just, you know, being able to throw somebody down, just the confidence to be able to walk around, you know. And a lot of the time when you're walking around with this confidence, you don't even have to get in fights. People can kind of see the confidence rather than walking around timid and, you know, kind of worried about things and things like that. So that is awesome to see with the kids. And actually right now, Eduardo and I are doing a whole school, basically in Burnaby, Renfrew Elementary. We're teaching classes all day. So yesterday, I taught 9 classes. The day before, I taught 11. And the day before that, I think we taught like 9 classes. So basically, we're running the whole day at this elementary school. And we're showing lots of self-defense moves. And the kids just love it, you know, showing, you know, things like how to get out of if someone's trying to choke you. And you know, just reaching out to the kids is one of the best things that I've found with opening my school. It's really great to see.
Absolutely outstanding. Sensei Ryan Christopher owns 2 martial arts schools in the Lower Mainland, Coquitlam Martial Arts and Burnaby Vancouver Jiu-Jitsu. He has a black belt. He's a wonderful teacher and is offering a great service. Ryan, thanks very much for your contribution, for your insight, for helping us to understand the greatness, the novelty, the uniqueness, and the brilliance of Jiu-Jitsu. It's a wonderful sport. Thanks for introducing it to me, and it's great to have met you.
And thanks so much. It's great to have met you. And I mean, I love having Mike at the gym. He's progressing so fast. He's going to give me some good trouble soon. And I'm glad he found something that he loves. He's a great competitor, winning, you know, gold medal after gold medals. He's awesome having in the gym. And feel free any day, Corey, if you ever want to drop by and, you know, try a jiu-jitsu class, you're more than welcome.
Oh, thanks very much, Ryan. Really appreciate it. Take care.
You too. Thanks, Corey.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Holly Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHolly.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Represent his lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU. Sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life. Live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHolly.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.